Breaking ball, line to third, diving, stop to his left by Bautista, throws to first, almost doubling up Vladimir Guerrero from his stomach. Wow.
Wow is right, and that's the play of the game brought to you by Speed Boost from Rogers. Hello, Speed Boost, goodbye waiting. Another first only from Rogers. Not only a spectacular play by Jose Bautista diving to make that grab on the line drive by Derek Lee, but a pretty big spot in the game as well, because the Orioles had cut the Blue Jays lead to 6-4. If that ball gets through, it's 6-5, and there's runners at first and second with only one out. And Carlos Villanueva is in all kinds of trouble. Instead, Bautista makes the play. Matt Wieters follows with a ground out to second base. And the Blue Jays take a 6-4 lead into the bottom of the fifth, score a pair, and they're off to an 8-5 win. The Blue Jays back over 500. They take the series from the Orioles and are now 27-4 in their last 31 home games against the O's. So after that opening game loss in the series, the world has now shifted back on its proper axis. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Jays Talk. We're taking your phone calls to the bottom of the hour. Then we will extend the Jays Talk on our flagship station, Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590, and on fan590.com, all the way to 11 o'clock Eastern Time. So get those dialing fingers dialing, 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Other highlights from the game, back-to-back home runs from Edwin Encarnacion and Eric Thames in the third inning. Encarnacion goes 3-for-4 and misses the cycle by a triple. Travis Snyder breaks out of a 2-for-26 by going 2-for-4 and scoring a couple of runs. And J.P. Arencibia doubles twice and drives in a pair. Colby Rasmus, in his Blue Jays debut, goes 0-for-5 but plays a flawless center field. And after the game, P.J. Walters, who pitched a scoreless top of the sixth, farmed back out to AAA Las Vegas. Jesse Litch has been called up to be used out of the bullpen for now, as Brad Mills gets the start against Texas on Saturday, the day before the interleague non-waiver trade deadline. So there might just be something to that. Let's get to the phones, and we'll start with John in Hagersville. John, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me. It's nice to talk to you tonight.
Thanks for calling.
I'm kind of seeing how Alex Anthopoulos is putting the lineup together of the players he wants to go after hard. You know, he wanted Anthony Ghost. He kind of went about it with all those trades to get him.
Yep.
He got Yunel Escobar kind of with dumping Alex Gonzalez there. And then now he's gone after Rasmus, who he says he had his eye on for a long time. So you can kind of see how the lineup's shaping up. Eric Thames is the wild card in that. I don't think anybody saw him coming on, but he looks fantastic. If I see the lineup the way I would have to kind of project it going forward next year, you could see the, you know, Thames and Rasmus and Snyder out there. I'm wondering if the Blue Jays are going to stay with Lowry coming up soon going forward next year, not pick up Aaron Hill's options, and ask Lowry to go back to second and leave Bautista at third.
Brett Lowry's not going to play second base. It's very, very unlikely that Brett Lowry's going to play second base.
Okay.
It's something that we talk about almost every night on this show. He was a second baseman last year. He was drafted as a catcher.
Yes.
It's not like second base is his natural position. And he wasn't moved off second because the Blue Jays had Aaron Hill. He was moved off second because the Blue Jays thought he was a much better fit at third base and really wasn't that good a second baseman. He could go back, but it's very, very unlikely. The likelier scenario is that the Blue Jays either bring Aaron Hill back at a reduced rate, kind of like they did with Edwin Encarnacion this year, go get somebody else to play second base, and Eric Thames does a lot of DHing.
Okay, I'm surprised to hear that the Blue Jays would just give up on him on his defense that way and kind of make him, I guess, essentially the fourth outfielder, the DH.
Well, I mean, he's the worst defender of the four.
Well, I see Rajay Davis, they got two more years on him, and I think he's a player that could add a lot of spark to the lineup. We saw what he's done with the stolen bases recently in games and essentially won some games without stealing home.
Yeah, he's never stolen home. They have 1 year left on Rajay Davis after this season, and he's the fourth outfielder. He's going to be a great pair of legs off the bench, a bat against lefties, and he'll be able to provide that dynamic piece to the game late in the ball game when you can actually put him on base instead of having to hope that he gets on. appreciate the call. I understand. A lot of people want Brett Laurie to go back to second base. But I'm telling you that the people who make the decisions have decided he's not as good at second base as he is elsewhere on the diamond. Bob is in Hamilton. Hey, Bob.
Hi, Mike. Three things. First of all, Baptiste, I love him as a player. But I think he's getting into this bad habit of every time he doesn't get a hit, he kind of yells or throws his bat down. Like, have you noticed that? Does it bother you at all? I mean, I just find he's, it's a little, I don't know if the word is unprofessional or, I mean, he's a real leader in the club, but he's been playing great defensively, and he's, you know, obviously a great hitter. But I've just found the last couple of weeks that when he doesn't get a hit, he kind of slams his bat, throws it down, or yells. Or have you noticed that? Or is it?
Yeah, that hasn't just been the last couple of weeks, though. That's been for a while. But you know what? I got I hosted this show for years and years and years, people complaining about Vernon Wells not showing any emotion and things like that, and saying how terrible that was and how they wanted the opposite. So this is what you've got.
I love a guy who's emotional, but do you not think it's getting a little bit out of hand? I mean, you got, you know, the youngsters watching this, and it just seems a little immature. I mean, he's a leader, really the leader of the club. I'm just, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are that's what's going on. He gets upset when he misses a pitch that he thinks he should get, and you know, what are you going to do? I don't think it's terribly unprofessional. I do think it's happening a lot.
Does it bother you at all?
No, it doesn't bother me at all. I pay no attention to it.
Okay. And Carcion, I think he's a bit underrated. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are. Do you think he'll be the DH next year? I mean, he's a pretty solid hitter, like DH only. What are your thoughts on him for next year?
He has been very good. He's been very good as the designated hitter. But the truth of the matter is he's hit 8 home runs, and that includes the one tonight. He's a guy who is not performing at the level that you would want your designated hitter to perform. He's got the power, and we see the doubles. I like him a lot, but at this point I'd rather have Eric Thames as my DH.
Really? And the third thing is, Kobe Rasmus, I've never heard somebody praise so much without proving anything yet. I mean, the last 3 years, I mean, has he hit over 275?
He's 24 years old. He had an OPS of 860 last year.
Maybe
860 last year was his on-base plus slugging as a 23-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
That's not proven anything. That's a lot. That's really, really good. Yes, he was hitting 246 with St. Louis, and yes, he went 0-for-5 tonight. This is a very, very good baseball player.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
All right, thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. We'll take another call, and then we'll listen in on the skipper. Barry is in St. Catharines. Hey, Barry.
Thanks, Mike, for taking my call. Three or four real quick things. First of all, tough night for Ramos, 0-for-5, but I guess you could say he has an excuse. First night as a Blue Jay, nerves, whatever. But anyways, the first thing is I was watching the game on the tube or whatever, and when Ramos came up to bat. Rasmus comes up to bat, everything on the tube is batting average and everything's all zero. How come
yes.
It doesn't continue?
When you move from league to league, whether it's National League to American League or American League to National League, your numbers reset. They don't carry over from league to league.
Okay, well, we got a second opinion here. In the sixth inning, when the St. Louis, or when the new Blue Jay came in, St. Louis, ex-St. Louis pitcher.
Yes.
How come I was watching the game on the tube. How come all his numbers stayed the same?
I don't know.
No, seriously.
I'm serious. I have nothing to do with the television broadcast.
Okay.
I will tell you this. His number, his ERA in the American League is zero. He has pitched one inning as far as the American League is concerned, and those are the numbers that, those are his numbers.
Okay, one last thing. And Snyder was down in Vegas or whatever, and
yep.
He had nothing but good things to say about his batting coach or whatever.
Yes.
Do you think his batting coach could come up to the Blue
No.
For a week? No?
No, Chad Mantola is the batting coach of the Las Vegas 51s. He's not the hitting coach of the Blue Jays. Dwayne Murphy does the job here. They work in tandem. Mantola knew what was expected of him down in Vegas.
The only reason why I was saying that is just for Hill. Just, you know, maybe you could give Hill a few tips or something, eh? But
okay. Thanks for the call, Barry. I appreciate it. If the Blue Jays thought Chad Mantola should be the Major League hitting coach, then he would be here being the Major League hitting coach. Let's listen in. John Farrell speaks to the media after every game, and We will bring that to you. The phone line's still open. We will take your calls on the other side. And again, we are going to extend the Jays talk all the way up until 11 o'clock Eastern. The Blue Jays beat the Orioles 8-5. Here's what John Farrell had to say about the win.
Tonight, just another very good offensive performance. Edwin continues to swing a hot bat. It's good to see Eric continue the aggressiveness that he's shown, regardless of the spot in the order that he's in. I thought our bullpen came out and did a very good job. Times when we gave up a couple of runs, we would respond, answer right back. And then as the guy went to the mound, he would put up a zero to keep the momentum on our side. But I think just a solid night overall, even though Carlos was probably a little less sharp than he's been, but still got through the five innings. And I thought really did a good job in the second inning on, changing up his first pitch sequence. They squared up a few pitches on first pitch fastballs, and then went to his secondary stuff to slow them down a bit. But overall, a solid night tonight.
Do you see an adjustment period for Colby? I mean, he's going to be facing a lot of pitchers he hasn't seen before.
I'm sure today was a little bit of a whirlwind for him. Coming in, new organization, a lot of requests, a lot of questions answered. You know, tonight he might have pulled off a few pitches that might otherwise, you know, he stays on. But, you know, again, I think it's clearly an adjustment period for him. But, you know, we've just got to give him an opportunity to settle in.
With Lich coming up, I know Mills is starting Saturday. Is Lich going to be used out of the bullpen then?
He will. Jesse will go to the bullpen. Obviously gives us a multi-inning reliever, very good ability to attack right-handed hitters with his cutter, with his slider. So he will go into that role. It's good to see J.J. Hardy leave. Guy had a heck of a series. But overall, to win two out of three, to continue on regardless of, you know, with the amount of changes to the roster that we've gone through the last couple of days, we're still kind of settling in as a roster as well. But guys went out and performed pretty darn well the last couple of nights.
John, what does it say about the bottom of your order today, the production they had, and you have the bats now a little bit lower? Eric Thames is obviously on fire. He's near the bottom of the lineup now, and Travis Snyder, those guys coming through today.
Well, after a tough night last night for Travis, it was good to see him put some swings on the baseball, particularly the base hit up the middle, which I thought he squared up pretty well. JP, I think the most encouraging thing was the two-strike double, where he's been a little susceptible to some fastballs located on a corner away. You know, he didn't give the at-bat away right there and put a good swing on the pitch. But, you know, whether it's that slot in the order for him, it seems to be where he's been the most productive. Whether there's a little bit less stress on his part, I can't answer that accurately or exactly, but he's put a lot of good swings on some pitches when he's been in that spot. But, yeah, when we can get Thames down in the sixth order, continues to lengthen out the lineup all the way through. It was good to see Hilly use a bunt for a base hit. So it's another dimension to his game that he can take advantage of.
Is there anything you told Colby before the game to try and settle him down before his first game as a Blue Jay, John?
Just to go out and play. You know, we're in a process of getting to know him. You know, the expectations that we have as a group is to win and to continue to build towards putting a championship club together. He's going to clearly be part of that. But we're in a phase of getting to know him as a person and a player.
And I know it's only one game, but anything you saw in his swing, his approach at the plate that you're going to work on going forward here?
No, not after five at-bats. We're just in the process of getting to know him.
There it is. So, no, they're not going to try to completely overhaul his swing after five at-bats, which is a great philosophy. And Colby Rasmus goes 0-for-5 in his Blue Jays debut. But again, Blue Jays win very early on, and there are still another 56 games for Blue Jay fans to enjoy Colby Rasmus, and then a whole bunch of years after that. Back to your phone calls. Blue Jays beat the Orioles 8-5 to take the series and get back up and over 500. After the game, P.J. Walters, who threw the shutout six, was sent down to Las Vegas. Jesse Lich is going to come up, and for now, he's going to work in the bullpen. Brad Mills will start on Saturday against the Rangers. Tom is in Ajax. Hello, Tom.
Good evening, Mike.
And to you.
Sounds like John Farrell would be willing to drive J.J. Hardy to the airport if he had to do it.
Well, you know what? I mean, the guy's hit six home runs against the Jays so far this year, four of them in these three games. I think every Blue Jay is kind of happy to see him getting out of town.
I'm in agreement with that. And I hope the same talent assessors from Milwaukee were the ones that traded J.J. Hardy away and not the same ones that decided to make that trade with the Jays and send us that young third baseman. His name escapes me. Everyone talks about him.
Brett Laurie.
Thank you, Brett Laurie.
I hope Brett Laurie winds up being a far better hitter than J.J. Hardy, to be honest with you.
Well, that would be nice, too. But anyway, I think Milwaukee kind of let Hardy get away. But what I called you about, actually, was another shortstop, Escobar.
Yep.
I'm looking at him and thinking, maybe this is a Gold Glove year for him. The American League's not exactly chock full of great defensive shortstops. I'm curious, is there anyone that comes to mind for you, Mike, that would be competing with Escobar or could win the Gold Glove ahead of him?
Well, there's Derek Jeter.
Really?
Well, the thing is, he's having a poor offensive season this year, Derek Jeter, and the fact that he's not having the year he normally has will probably mean he's not going to win a sixth Gold Glove, and regardless of the fact that he didn't deserve any of the first five. I would think that Yunel Escobar is definitely in the discussion, but Asdrubal Cabrera and Elvis Andrus are the two guys who spring to mind immediately for me when I think of who people may vote for as a Gold Glove shortstop.
Yeah, well, we always know that our guys up here have to work a little extra harder to get the attention south of the border. So, well, anyways, that was just something that came to me, and I was thinking, hey, maybe he's got a shot. But I kind of forgot about Asdrubal Cabrera. Yeah, he's having a good year, too.
Yeah, and you know, he's having a good year offensively, and that always helps a lot as far as Gold Glove voting is concerned, just because. It's ridiculous and it's stupid, but just because. That's the way it is. We have a scoreboard to check. We have a Blue Jay victory here. And we have an Extendo Jays talk on the other side. On our flagship station, Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590, and on fan590.com. Phone lines are open, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. An 8-5 win. Toronto takes down the Orioles. It is the Blue Jays Radio Network. Back here at Rogers Center, terrific night at the ballpark as the Blue Jays beat the Orioles 8-5 in Colby Rasmus and P.J. Walters' debuts. Walters is a short one, though. He throws one hitless shutout inning. And Adam Lind makes a fantastic play on a Robert Andino pop-up in that inning. And then P.J. gets shipped out to Las Vegas. Jesse Litch is back. Litch here, though, to be a long reliever for now. Brad Mills getting the start on Saturday. And the only reason I can think of for that is as a showcase. It's the day before the trade deadline. Not that they're going to build a trade around Brad Mills, but that he might be part of one. Quick look at the scoreboard. Texas leads Minnesota 2-1 in the top of the eighth inning. The Rangers will be here tomorrow. Three finals. Tampa Bay takes down Oakland 10-8 with a 7-run seventh. Royals beat Boston 4-3. Angels over the Tigers 12-7 as Mark Trumbo misses the cycle by a single. The rookie hits his 19th home run and drives in five. In the National League, Pirates lead the Braves 3-2 in the top of the eighth. Houston over St. Louis 5-3 in the top of the eighth inning. Milwaukee has already won. They beat the Cubs 4-2. Giants took down Philadelphia 4-1 today. Carlos Beltran making his Giants debut. And the San Francisco's win with him in the lineup, despite the fact that he goes 0-4. So Colby Rasmus is in pretty good company tonight. You've been listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Rogers, a proud partner of the Toronto Blue Jays. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. Texas Rangers come to town for the first of three tomorrow night. We are on the air at 7 o'clock for a 7:07 first pitch. Brett Cecil against Alexi Agondo in a rematch of the Jays' 3-0 win from last Sunday night. The Extendo coming your way on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590 and fan590.com. For Jerry Howarth, Alan Ashby, Tom Young, Dylan Brown, and Joel McFadden, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night from Rogers Center. Here's the 3-2.
Hit high and deep to left center field. This one at the wall. This one is gone. Edwin Encarnacion slams his eighth on the year. drives in his second of the night, and the Blue Jays take a 3-2 lead.
And that started a four-run rally in the bottom of the third inning with two out and nobody on. Encarnacion goes deep. Eric Thames follows with his fifth home run of the season. Then Aaron Hill walks. Travis Snyder singles. J.P. Arencibia drives them both in with a double into the left field corner. Jays were up 6-2 and go on to beat the Baltimore Orioles 8-5. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Extendo Jays Talk. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance. 1-888-666-0590. Let's go to Chris in Toronto. Welcome aboard, Chris.
Evening, Mike. How are you?
I am not unwell, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Oh, good.
Thanks for taking the time. I care to ask. I appreciate that. Quickly, just a couple of comments on what you've said so far. So is that P.J. Walters the new G-Boat? One inning, no earned runs. Yeah, greatest Blue Jay of all time.
Best Blue Jay ever? I don't know. If it had been a perfect inning, maybe.
Right.
But he walked a guy, so he's, you know, he's got the whip is one. He's walking nine guys per nine innings.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's good enough to be the greatest ever.
Well, let's put him in, let's keep him in the conversation.
He's in the conversation without question.
Absolutely. And this one other comment I want to make to you. There's a few days back, somebody, you were discussing how a strategy situation where a caller suggests that Nelson Cruz be walked to, so the Jays could face Josh Hamilton. Recall that?
No, it was Elvis Andrus be walked so they could face. There was one caller who suggested Nelson Cruz be walked in the fifth inning.
Right.
With first base open, and then it was the ninth inning, Andrus walked to face Hamilton to load the bases.
Right. Gotcha. Well, that strategy has been used, though, before. It's one that comes to the college defense. The Indians did use it against the Chicago White Sox.
What strategy? Walking the bases loaded for Hamilton?
Well, for the most feared hitter. But that was in the movie Major League 2. So I think it was, for Hollywood script-wise, it's a good strategy. But the reason why I called was...
As long as you don't have, if you don't have the President of the United States from 24 in the on-deck circle, I think you're okay.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good way to live. I also wanted to call about Aaron Hill, clearly struggling all year. But, my opinion of it is that I think, if he can't be sent somewhere, even for minor interest or minor relief or prospect.
He's a type B free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah,
so
but he's going to accept arbitration unless you do something along the lines of a handshake agreement where he agrees not to. But there's no way he's not going to. You're allowed to offer
Right, he would have 80%. To be offered $4 million on a one-year contract.
Exactly.
And you're right, he would probably take that. Although, if he knew he wasn't wanted and maybe wasn't going to get an opportunity, he might not take that. I don't
right.
know. But I don't think he's worth just dumping for scraps.
I think he is, and I'll tell you why.
All right.
I think whether it's dumped for scraps or even DFA. Because, this is a swing year, to quote Alex. And, what I see is an opportunity to bring somebody in for 240 at bat. So whether it's, Mike McCoy or the 2011 version of Mike McCoy or Jeff Hoffpower or whatever 4A guy out there. I mean, the Jays have this scout army. There's got to be somebody out there who's worth giving that opportunity. Maybe they ask Colorado Knights to get Brad Ehlers back or whoever it may be. But, it's an opportunity to get a look at a guy. And if Hill can always be offered a minor league contract or something to come back next year, but what's being wasted is 240 at-bats.
I disagree with you. I would rather see those 240 at-bats given to Aaron Hill than given to a guy who, even after you give him 240 at-bats, and that's a lot for a third of a season. It's probably closer to 180. But regardless, I would rather see those at-bats be given to someone who you're not going to have to wonder after those 180 at-bats, well, now what do we do? How good is he really? What do we have here?
So you're saying that if Aaron Hill does hit 300 with an on base of 340 over the next 60 games or so, you're still not going to wonder?
No, of course, but no matter who it is, you're going to wonder. But with Aaron Hill, you know what his ceiling is, and you know what he's done in the past, and you know what he did those first 3 years when, nothing like the 09 Aaron Hill, but he was a 290 hitter who hits 30 doubles a year. You know he's got that in him. If you give those at-bats to Mike McCoy, you're still going to be looking for a second baseman in the offseason just as much as you're going to be looking for a second baseman in the offseason if you give him to Aaron Hill.
Okay, well, I disagree, but just from the reason that which was in him, I feel, was much too long ago. But if they do go on that road, at least bring back Gene Tennis on a consignment contract and get him to see if he can help him out for a couple of weeks. Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call. I don't know about that one. Paul is in Toronto. Hey, Paul.
Hi there. Quick question for you, too. When a hitter comes over from another league, do you think he's got a bigger advantage because the pitchers have never seen him before, or is it a bigger disadvantage because he's never seen those pitchers before?
I think it's a wash, to be honest with you. I don't know which is more important. Everyone, but the thing with Colby Rasmus is that he's been around for 2.5 years in the major leagues as a full, or 3.5 years in the major leagues as a full-timer. So everybody's got video on him. It's not like that minor leaguer coming up who nobody's ever seen before. He's played enough interleague. I mean, he's not intimately familiar with any of these American League pitchers, but and vice versa. But I think it kind of cuts both ways.
Okay, thanks. And the second question is, where do you see Eric Thames in 5 years? I really like him and wondered what you thought of his long-term future.
I have no idea. I can confidently say that I have no idea. I mean, look, if you'd asked me in 2007 where I saw Aaron Hill in 5 years, or in 2009 where I saw, 2008 where I saw Travis Snyder in 5 years, or in 2000 where I saw Roy Halladay in 5 years, those are questions that just can't be answered. Ty is in Toronto. Hey, Ty.
Hey, Mike. I got a couple things to say. First, I want to say a good game for the Jays tonight. An 8-5 win. Pretty solid.
Yep.
And I also want to say I think the Jays are really moving in the right direction with all these young guys. You know, Aaron Cebo, Snyder, Laurie will join that mix soon, Thames, and now Colby Rasmus. I really think they're set up to win at least 95 games in the next couple years. Like, maybe not next year, obviously, but, you know, maybe 2014, 2015. I think they'll be set up to be a really, really good team. And finally, I want to send a shout-out to my boys at East York Baseball who are playing in their national elimination tournament this weekend. And I want to say that I think it's one of the most important things we can do to support youth baseball in this country. And, you know, Jeff Gibbs is taking the mound this weekend. So, you know, he's supposed to be one of the top-ranked Canadian prospects next year in the draft. So, you know, if you want to go watch one of the best young Canadian pitchers in the game for absolutely nothing, you know, go up if you're going to be in Sarnia this weekend. Please go up and watch the National Elimination Tournament because I think it's one of the most important things we can do is support youth baseball, because we all know names like Morneau and Votto, but in a couple of years it's going to be Brandon Collins and Jeff Gibbs. So I just want to say go East York, and thank you for having me on, Mike.
All right, Ty, thanks for the call. I'm always happy to have someone come up here and promote Canadian baseball, Baseball Canada. It is hugely important. You're absolutely right. I think it's a bit of a losing battle trying to get people out to see the junior teams and stuff like that, which is really a shame. But it's the same losing battle in this area, you know, about trying to get people out to go see the OHL and stuff like that. So I kind of feel good that it's not there. There's the place where hockey is not overwhelmed baseball. But there is some serious good baseball being played here. And there are some terrific-looking kids, athletics-wise, looking kids who are playing and who are going to be those names that you'll recognize in the future. And it's fun to go out and watch them play. Roger in Brampton. Roger.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Roger.
Unlike many people, I'm a little happy that Rasmus didn't have a great first day like J.P. and Syria did, because in listening to the radio station the last couple of days, my goodness, I hope he certainly has not been, because I think he would have put himself under a lot of pressure. So while I love the move, and I think he is a breath of fresh air, and I like the direction that Alex is going in, because I think under J.P. Ricciardi,
we don't have to rip on J.P. Ricciardi to praise Alex.
I'm not. I'm just saying that the style of play was station to station, and I like the fact that they've got a lot more athleticism and speed. And whether the Blue Jays, yes, the Blue Jays do want to build towards championship team, but in the interim, I think if they play 500. As they have for many years, it will be a more exciting, enjoyable product to watch at the ballpark. Also, I really hope that the Jays call up Brett Laurie for Sunday, whether he plays or not, for Sunday to witness the retirement of Alomar's number, because I think for a Canadian kid watching the Blue Jays, and he is going to be called up eventually, I think it would be a good experience for him to experience. And that's pretty much all I have.
Okay. Thanks, Roger. Appreciate the call. Brett Laurie will get an opportunity to watch that Roberto Alomar ceremony on television. They are not going to be calling him up Sunday. And they may not even call him up on August 2nd, which is when I thought they would. They might still. Depends what happens on Sunday at the trade deadline. We have an update. Andrew Nye is standing by, and he's really good at it and stuff. Almost as good as Ben Ennis is. So you're going to want to really listen hard to what Andrew Nye has to say. And then afterwards, more of your phone calls as the Extendo Jays talk continues on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Here's the 2-2. Aaron Sebia drills down the left field line. It's a fair ball. That will score Hill. Here comes Travis digging around third. Butterfield with the wave. Travis to the plate, and the throw is dropped as Travis Snyder scores. A two-run double for J.P.R. and CB. It's now 6-2 Jays.
Big swing for J.P.R. and CB. And yes, Matt Wieters did drop that throw, but if he hadn't, he was going right into next Thursday, because Travis Snyder had the shoulder down and was ready to plow Wieters into the first row. And you love seeing stuff like that. 6-2 Jays after 3. 8-5 Blue Jays beat the Baltimore Orioles. And after the game, P.J. Walters, who threw a shutout sixth, goes down to Vegas. Jesse Litch is coming up for now to work out of the bullpen. Very interesting, as Brad Mills will start on Saturday. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Extendo Jays Talk. Back to your phone calls. Peter is in St. Catharines. Hey, Peter.
Yes, Mike, a couple things about Rasmus. First of all, I think Tim Langton did a very good job first time announcing his name.
Okay.
Yeah, because Tim's the best PA announcer in the business.
Tim is lovely.
Yes.
We worked together once upon a time when he was with us at Sportsnet Radio, and the Fan 590.
And he's also got the outfield celebration with the when they bang hips together.
I very rarely get to actually hear what Tim has to say. It's a very strange, the acoustics in this place are weird, in that when you're out in the bowl,
right,
you can hear all the announcements perfectly. And when you're sitting here in the broadcast booth or in the press box, where there's like, I don't know, a foot and a half between us and being out in the bowl, you can't hear a thing.
Yes, well, of course, we've struck gold with PA guys. We've had Tim Murray Alden before him, and Bob McCowan before him.
Yes, Bob McCowan in 1977,
great.
Indeed.
Just one thing, too, in regards to the Alomar Hall of Fame ceremony.
Okay.
Do you know what the timetable is that they'll get the ceremonies in and still have the first pitch at 107?
I can't imagine the first pitch is going to be at 107. I would think it's going to be 1:15, 20 after 1.
Oh, okay.
I would think all the ceremony stuff is going to start around 1 o'clock.
Okay, there's going to be several speeches, from what I've...
I have no idea.
Okay. And also another thing, too, in regard to that game, the Pirates and Braves game the other day, did the Pirates not file a protest?
They filed a complaint. You can't protest that call.
Okay, yeah, right, all right.
But they did complain, yes. And that's why Joe Torre said, yes, the umpire got it wrong, no, there's nothing we're going to do about it.
Yeah, there's nothing that even Bud Selig, even in the best interest of baseball, can do.
Of course he can, but they choose not to.
Yeah, just like he did. He could have done something about Armando Galarraga last year, but...
And again, he chose not to, despite having the ability to do so and despite having the technology to get the call right. What's more important to Major League Baseball, or put it this way, getting the call right is not the most important thing as far as Major League Baseball is concerned. Byron in Toronto, welcome to the Extendo Jays Talk.
It's great to be here, Mike, and I was very excited to go to the ballpark tonight to just after all the hype that was surrounding Colby Rasmus. I'm really excited about the trade that Alex Anthopoulos made, and I just wanted to say tonight, I wanted to ask your opinion on the pitching. I mean, it was like a really weird night for pitching, because we saw 10 different pitchers. Bill and Nueva, I thought when we started this game, you know, Hardy and Guerrero both hit homers, and then Markakis and Derek Lee like really hit it like practically to the warning track.
So did Adam Jones. His was just foul. Yeah, Villanueva didn't fool anybody in that first inning.
Oh, and I just thought we're going to get killed tonight. And then, you know, so he settled down, and then, you know, with a bullpen missing Zepchinski and missing Jason Fraser, who was, you know, I'm sad to see him go, and I wish him very, very well. But the bullpen, like, held it together, and Villanueva, like, with clearly without his best stuff, really gutted it out. But my question to you is, after this big shakeup of our pitching staff, who do you see in the future, you know, this season and next season that could come up to fill these roles from our system?
I really don't know. You know, I don't know that they're going to come from within. Danny Farquhar's down there in AAA, but the last I checked, he wasn't pitching especially well. I think that you're eventually going to have some of these guys who are in the second or third wave of pitching who are starters now have to wind up in the bullpen or with other teams. I think Casey Jansen may well be the only guy who's in the bullpen right now who's in the bullpen next year. But had the trade not happened, it would have just been Jansen and Zepchinski. So they're really going to have to rebuild this bullpen over the course of the offseason. And I do hope that Jansen gets more and more high leverage work as the season continues. Probably not going to happen before July 31st, just in case. But I really would love to see that. I think he's earned it. And Frank Francisco, by the way, with a 1-2-3-8 today, Francisco has retired each of the last 12 hitters he's faced. Raptorized John in Toronto, welcome to Extendo Jays Talk.
Yo, Miguel, how are you?
I'm all right. All of a sudden, you're a regular caller again. What's going on?
Hey, well, you know.
Okay.
Comes and goes, my man.
I guess so.
Comes and goes.
I do know.
My question is about our skipper, the Blue Jays skipper choice of putting a new kid at second and dropping Eric down to sixth.
Yep.
I think, you know, that put more pressure on the new guy to bat second rather than put him further down in the lineup. I think Eric deserves to stay back in second because he's proven himself there.
He has proven Eric Thames has proven nothing. Let's get this out in the open right now.
Potentially least rookie, you know, he's in the running for rookie of the year.
He's not in the running for rookie of the year. He's played 41 games. He has been spectacular in the 41 games. Take nothing away.
Mike, you just say he's spectacular.
He has proven nothing.
He's spectacular, but he's proven nothing.
Absolutely. Those things are not mutually exclusive at all.
Okay, you say so, buddy, but somebody tells me somebody's spectacular but hasn't proven anything. He's proven he's spectacular.
He's been spectacular over a quarter of a season.
So? Because this other guy's been playing the whole year. And, you know, he's coming in, you know, batting, what, 250 or 240?
246.
246, you know?
Yeah.
How the hell he gets the best second?
And I think his on-base percentage is like 10 points lower than Thames is.
Right. So why he gets the best second?
Because he's a guy who everyone thinks is going to be able to hit. He proved last year that he was very good hitter.
Well, this year.
But he was proven. He proved it last year. And his on-base plus slugging last year was higher than Eric Thames' is this year. But the truth of the matter is, Thames doesn't walk much. Thames has that nice power stroke. And he's a nice fit down there in an RBI spot in the lineup, and we saw that in the first inning where he got a chance to come up with the bases loaded. Where hitting second, that's never going to happen, at least not in the first inning. Rasmus has a chance to be a better hitter than Thames has been, and in fact, he's shown that he can be a better hitter than even Thames is doing right now. But the two spot in the lineup suits him well for his ability to take a walk, for his speed, and I like Thames hitting sixth.
Well, I don't know, man, because there's a few times in this game, at least tonight, you know, when Janelle got on, you know, he was on, what, three times tonight?
Twice.
And did he move him over at all?
No.
Okay, never mind. Are you okay? But, okay
John, it's six, one yeah. game. Come on.
Oh, okay. I'll give him a break.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. And let's all remember, Everybody loves Eric Thames, and there is nothing not to love about Eric Thames. Eric Thames has an on-base plus slugging of .853 this season coming into this game. It went up a little tonight with the home run. Colby Rasmus had an on-base plus slugging of .859 last season. Just remember that. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the Extendo.
Mike, I just wanted to say I love the direction that the team is heading. I think Alex Anthopoulos has a plan, and he's sticking to it. And I also wanted to say that I was at the game tonight, and I hope that fans are patient with the young guys like Colby Rasmus and Travis Snyder. They are young, and I think for Travis it's as simple as once he learns to recognize the breaking ball that he can't, like from right-handers that they're throwing at his shoes, that he's not picking up right now. I hope that fans realize that these guys are 23 and 24 years old. And
well, if you've ever listened to this show, Jeff, you know that's a lot to ask.
I realize that. I got one other question. The fifth inning, we're up 6-2, and Villanueva, the first hitter up's the nine hitter.
Yep.
I forget his name.
Robert Andino, who is a very, very tough guy to walk.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
When you got J.J. Hardy on deck and he's hitting the cover off the ball and they're throwing him off speed stuff to the nine hitter, is that an Aaron Sebia? Is that what he's calling, or is that what Villanueva wants to throw, or is it lack of control? What is that?
It's lack of control. They sit down and they have these long meetings before every game. Both catchers are in that meeting, and whoever's starting that game, and they go over the scouting report on every hitter in the opposition. How are you going to pitch him? What his weaknesses are relative to your strengths, and how you work him. And that's simply a lack of control, plain and simple. I know that a lot of people want to blame J.P. Arencibia whenever a pitcher doesn't execute, but the truth of the matter is, no pitcher is going to throw a pitch that he doesn't want to throw, whether Arencibia is calling for it or not.
Right, and I do think that he did gut it out. Like, he obviously didn't have his location down tonight, and the first inning, he could have easily been shelled right out of the game, but
yep.
He fought it out, and I do appreciate that.
Yeah, he did a very good job today without his best stuff, and the ballpark helped him a little bit as well, and hopefully we're not seeing the regression to the mean of Carlos Villanueva, who's having easily the best year he's ever had in the major leagues, and has been a pretty terrific starter for this team. Thank you for the call, Jeff. We're going to go out to Richmond Hill. Brian, you're on the Jays Talk.
Hey, I'm very excited about the Rasmus trade. Still can't believe Alex was able to land him. But I think Alex has it pretty set in terms of positions-wise with all-star-type players or potential all-stars. We have Snyder in left field, Rasmus center field, not obviously Bautista in right, and now Lowry coming up at third, Escobar at short, Lynn at first, and then Arencibia and maybe Darno at catcher. I think the only question mark right now is second base and whether what we're going to do with Hill or if we're going to call up Echeverria.
They're not going to call up Echeverria. He can't.
Well,
hit.
I mean, like for in terms of, you know, like next year and beyond.
Yeah, I think he's still going to need more time beyond next year. But your point is well taken, and I don't think that this is being a homer or having rose-colored glasses on when I say, like you, that at seven spots out of the eight on the diamond, the Blue Jays have a potential all-star: Snyder, Rasmus, Bautista, Lind, Escobar, Bautista. Sorry, I counted him twice at right and third. So let's say Lowry. Arencibia behind the plate. And you know what? Aaron Hill has been an all-star.
Exactly.
He's not that right now by any means. But an all-star at every spot is kind of what you need in the AL East.
And I also like to touch upon the fact, I think if we want to contend in 2012 and beyond, I think we need to add a top-end starter to our rotation. Maybe someone equivalent to like a Ricky Romero, but better. Or at least somebody at the talent level, Ricky Romero. I think Ubaldo Jimenez would fit. What do you think about that?
I think he'd be a great fit. I'm interested to see how he'll fare in the American League if he does wind up getting traded to the American League. But you know, there are still 3 days before the deadline, and if Jeff Blair seems to be very, very convinced that the Blue Jays are going to make a move for a big-time starting pitcher between now and the trade deadline. So it'll be interesting to keep an eye on. We know that Ubaldo Jimenez is very definitely in play. I don't know that there's a crying need for a top-of-the-rotation starter here with Romero, Moro, Cecil, Drabek on the way, but it certainly can't hurt.
Yeah. I mean, at least if we want to contend, I mean, for next year, I think we need, I mean, we have Alvarez and McGuire.
Well, I mean, you don't want to move the timetable up, right? Look at the team exactly. That's leaving town right now. The Baltimore Orioles always thought that they could contend next year, so they made some stupid moves, and as a result, they've never been able to dig themselves out from under.
I mean, I really think we're close, though. I mean, I think one starter and maybe, like, shore up of the bullpen away from being contenders.
Right. If Lurie hits the ground running, if Snyder turns it around, if Rasmus turns it around, if Aaron Sebia starts to hit a little bit better, and if they can solve second base, and if they get the bullpen worked out. So they're really not, you know, it's not, they're not one guy away, but yeah, they certainly have the potential to be.
Exactly. I like the way the Jays are, I like the direction we're going, though, so I'm very excited.
Yes, and well, you should be, and thank you for the call. We got time for one more. It's going to be Alan in Toronto. Hey, Alan.
Vlady Guerrero showed a little bit of speed. He
showed no speed at all. Come on.
Well, he's good speed for a guy with knees that belong to medical science anyway.
Well, Carlos Villanueva was not paying any attention to him at all, and he was two-thirds of the way to second base before he let go of the ball.
And then he beat out an infield hit against Bautista in the seventh inning. I guess Bautista didn't have a prayer on that.
No, you could have beaten that ball out, Alan.
And then yesterday he reached base on a strikeout.
Yes, he did. But you know what? And I was very impressed with that. And I have to say, I think Vladdy's used to that. I think he swings at so many awful pitches that he always knows to take off as soon as he misses strike three.
When did Aaron Hill get his triple? You know, he's gone about 1,500 at-bats, between at-bats for a triple. He has the...
He got one like last month or maybe earlier this month.
Yeah, and he has the all-time record between at-bats for a triple.
That's great.
Not getting a triple.
Good for... I can't believe that that's true. I can't imagine that there isn't somebody else who hasn't gone 3 years without hitting a triple. Some really slow dude. When did Jim Thome hit his last triple? Although Benji Molina did hit a triple. I can't believe Benji Molina hasn't gone 1,500 bats between triples at some point in his career. The music means we have to leave. But Jeff Sammet's coming. And he's good and stuff after the soccer show. And Showdown. All that stuff's going to be really good. Nigel Reed on the soccer show. And then... Showdown Joe, then Sammet coming up at 1 o'clock. Thanks to all of you for listening. Thanks to Tom Young, to Joel McFadden, to Dylan Brown, Ben Ennis. We'll see you tomorrow night.